This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick, filling in for John Hockenberry. Thank you so much for listening on this, our final broadcast of 2016. New Year's Day is just 2 days away, so let's take a minute and review some of the year's biggest headlines. Here's one. Pope Francis endorsed Donald Trump for president. Secretary Hillary Clinton actively armed ISIS jihadists. Child sex abuse ring discovered in Washington, D.C. pizza restaurant. Now, those, you've probably already guessed, are false, fake news headlines. But what happens when the real news, the statements coming directly from people in power or those about to take power, become indistinguishable from fake news?
So one thing that has been interesting this entire campaign season to watch is that people that say facts are facts, they're not really facts. Everybody has a way. It's kind of like looking at ratings or looking at a glass of half full water. Everybody has a way of interpreting them to be the truth or not truth. There's no such thing, unfortunately, more of fact.
That's Scotty Hughes, a Donald Trump surrogate when she was on the Diane Rehm show at the beginning of December. And that stark statement leads us to another. This from author Peter Pomerantsev when he was on this show in November.
You know, facts aren't actually very pleasant. You know, facts tell us basically we're going to die. We're nothing as good-looking as we think we are. Probably, you know, going to be poorer than our parents. And that our countries, in the West especially, are in decline. And the only time you really need facts is when you've got a clear, coherent, and very tangible future to aim for.
What Peter is saying there is a staggering disappointment to Jay Rosen, who's dedicated his career to the institution that's supposed to deliver those facts. That's the press. Rosen is the author of Press Think. That's a blog about journalism in the digital age. He's also professor of journalism at New York University. In a new post for Press Think, he outlines the prospects for the American media and for truth as a consequence during the next 4 years of the Trump administration. Jay Rosen says there are a few bright spots, a handful of possible solutions, but mostly there's cause for alarm and concern when it comes to preserving a cycle of fact-based knowledge in America that's driven by quality journalism. Jay Rosen is in the studio with me now. Welcome to The Takeaway, Jay.
Thank you very much, Tom.
You've painted a picture of what seems like a perfect storm of insidious and conspiring factors that are making the press less effective and less vital in the age of Trump. What's the picture of what's going on here?
Well, the picture is of multiple overlapping problems in which journalists aren't trusted, especially by Trump supporters. And they have their own problems, such as a declining economic model and a broken model of political coverage that, for example, failed to anticipate the results. And they now confront a figure in power, Donald Trump, who breaks the norms of American democracy and, even more disconcertingly, doesn't seem to care whether his statements cohere with one another, doesn't care whether he spreads falsehood, seems intent on producing confusion as almost a political tool, and is ready at a moment's notice to attack the press and whip up hatred against it among his supporters. So when you put all of those things together, along with the difficulty that our press corps has in rapidly shifting routines and changing the way it does things, it's a fairly bleak picture.
I want to delve in a little bit into your analysis of how this operates. You have one example of sort of open disdain for facts, people in power who take sets of known facts, something that is true, Barack Obama is an American and was born here, and simply refutes it, questions it, and opens up a whole new area of debate.
Yeah, the term I have for this is verification in reverse. Journalism is the art of verification. It's taking things that might be true and nailing it down with facts, with documents, with interviews. Verification in reverse is when you take something that's already been nailed down and you introduce doubt about it. And that releases a lot of energy, controversy, furor, news coverage that you can resent. And with that energy, you can try and power a political movement. And that is how Donald Trump started his political career when he became a birther. And so when verification in reverse becomes almost a basic technique of politics, you have not just a story that's hard to cover, You have the craft of journalism being pulled out by its roots. And that's what's so disturbing about what's going on.
So I'm a listener. I'm a viewer. I crack the newspaper. I'm listening to public radio. I hear a report that reports the new fact. All right. Donald Trump said today he had an historic electoral victory, a historic victory, which is something that he said, something that is demonstrably false. A great deal of coverage. Donald Trump said this. That was the news cycle for half a day.
Right. And what's interesting about that is that it's transparently false. That is, it's easy to check. It would take 5 minutes to figure out, maybe less. And when the press points out, well, not really, they are casting themselves as these sort of petty antagonists to the man in power. And even though he's wrong, he can still win the sort of symbolic fight because they seem like carping trivial critics and he seems like the man who's bravely fending off their attacks. And so even fact-checking somebody who doesn't care about facts is really difficult. Another thing that's interesting here, Todd, is last night in reacting to the sanctions against Russia, Trump said something interesting. He said, no one knows what's going on with computers today. And I thought that was really fascinating because, especially during the Cold War, all of our presidents have tried to give us the impression that, of course, they know what's going on. They're the leader of the free world. They're at the apex of this information system, which is the best in the world. And Trump not only doesn't mind, but he seems to advertise the impossibility of knowing what's going on. And that is really scary because it's not just sort of pushing journalists out of the frame. It's saying to Americans, don't bother paying attention. Don't bother trying to become informed because no one really knows what's going on.
There's an implicit resignation there. What are you going to do?
What are you going to do? And it's of a piece with his willingness to tolerate confusion within his camp about what does Trump actually intend to do. If his advisors say one thing and he says something completely different, that's not a problem. That actually helps him produce this atmosphere of confusion in which he's always right to his hardcore supporters. And to those who are skeptical, you can't figure out what's going on. Well, anybody who's studied or lived under an authoritarian regime knows that this is a basic tool of power.
So you point out, despite all of that, we still have a First Amendment. We still have a free press. We still have free speech and all of these things, of course, that we hold so dear. That's all fine, stipulated. There's a lot to be angry about and nervous about in some of those authoritarian strategies. What else is your recommendation for how a free press and a press that cares about the truth and frankly, a press that needs to make money, let's be honest, can operate in this environment in a way that serves people?
Well, there's two things that I think are really important. One is the press has to realize that it is a public institution that's in the middle of a political fight in the sense that there are organized forces that want to bring the press down. They want to turn the public against it. They want to make sure that nothing the mainstream press does makes a difference. And they're in a fight for support with the middle of the country. Trump's hardcore supporters are lost to mainstream journalism. But that's only 20 to 40% of the electorate. The rest have to be engaged. And if they come to the support of the press, that makes a difference. It's already happening with people signing up to subscribe to news sources that they believe in, supporting public radio, ProPublica.org, The Guardian, The New York Times, Washington Post. That's a vote of support. So journalists aren't accustomed to think of themselves as a political actor in a fight, but that's exactly their situation right now. The other thing that I think is really important is that journalists have to somehow learn to listen to Americans, understand their troubles better than the political system does, so that when the political system is ignoring those troubles, the press is not. And that's where the insiderism of a lot of political reporting, the concentration in New York and Washington, the culture of the press in which pundits and experts and office holders and journalists are all sort of part of the same world become huge problems.
What can news consumers do, do you think, to make their consumption more effective, to stay away from false balance, frankly, to stay away from the things that have worked financially that are driving an industry where everybody has to make a living?
People ask me this all the time.
It's a tough one.
Yeah. What I usually tell them is, first, they should support the news organizations that they think do a good job. And that means supporting them with money as well as attention. They should find individual journalists they trust and defend them when they're attacked, as well as follow their work. And individual citizens, voters, have to piece together their understanding of the world themselves. They can't get it prepackaged from the media. They can't get it from their ideology. And that illusion that you can sort of be delivered an understanding of the world watching cable news or getting your morning newscast is actually part of the problem. So people are going to have to like work harder, and they're going to have to start seeing news as a public good. And that's a long way from the system that got us to this point.
Jay Rosen is a professor of journalism at New York University. He's the author of Press Think, which you can read at pressthink.org, where you will find his new two-part post on the state of American journalism in the era of Trump. And also today, what can be done about it? Jay Rosen, it's great to have you here.
Thank you, Todd.